Zena, I'll always love you.
Broken heart again, another lesson learned. Better know your friends, or else you will get burned. Gotta count on me, 'cause I can guarantee that I'll be fine. No more pain.
Welcome everyone to Zena Nuber's podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 80. This podcast shows for all the Zena and Uber subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to another XNU show. We are in the midst of some weird and funky things going on. I got to be honest with you. Sometimes you just wonder if people just really either snort something or smoke something or just howl at the moon or whatever, because you just really have to scratch your head and go, what the? But it's just a matter of time, and some people you just turn around and say, okay, I'll go call the funny people now and tell them you're out here without your little white jacket to hug you. We're going to get into the show. We're continuing on with A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good, as we finished up with the Conqueror series 2 episodes ago. I wanted to touch base with everyone to please start gearing up in your mind and start sending in some ideas for the 100th episode. What do you think would be good to do for the 100th episode? As I've only got 20 more episodes to go, obviously. I'd like to do something. I don't know whether I'm going to do a contest, and if I do, what kind of a prize I'm going to put into it, or whether to go ahead and just do a special episode, you know, where I interview someone or something like that. So if you got some ideas, go ahead and start sending them in. I've had a few already where someone suggested, you know, that we all pull in and send in your favorite stories that you've either read or heard or something like that. And then the winner will have their story read for them personally by me. But, you know, that was just one suggestion. So there you go. The song snippet you hear in this week's music is MJ Blige, No More Pain. So I played that one before, but I just felt it was kind of nice to put into this episode. If you do have any suggestions, as usual, go ahead and send them in. I am getting a few, but they're rare and sporadic in between, so go ahead and send any suggestions in. And on with the show. In this week's show, we actually have 2 movie reviews and no book review, so I'll be doing the book review. But the movie review, the first one I've gotten from my book ho. You've got to love it. You got to give these lovely names that I give all my people. But my book ho, Pam, thank you very much. It's The Incredibly True Adventures of Two Girls in Love, which was released back in 1995. I'm sure most of you have seen it. And if you haven't, go out and get it. And the review goes, this warm romantic comedy by newcomer Maria Mangenti is a gay coming-of-age story framed by Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass. Randy, Laurel Hillman of The L Word, is a stoner, lesbian teenager who happens to be failing math and dating a married woman. One day, fellow student Evie, Nicole Parker of Soul Food, drives up to Randy's gas station in Range Rover and flips her world upside down. Evie is privileged and popular. Randy is poor and impulsive, and according to the other students, a freak. Opposites attract when the two girls kick off their friendship in detention. The flirtation blossoms after Evie introduces tomboyish Randy to the joys of a Whitman and opera. Randy returns the favor by acquainting the sheltered Evie with the problems and delights of mature, taboo love. There is a beautiful scene where the two consummate their courtship at Evie's birthday while Mom is out of town. The true test of their relationship occurs during the hilarious climax when angry families and friends chase the troubled girls down into hiding. So that's the first one. And thank you, Pam, for sending me that. The second one is called Girl Play. And the synopsis from Wolf Video goes, cast as the stars of a lesbian love story, sexy leading ladies Robin Greenspan and Lacey Harmon try to resist falling in love with each other. But rehearsals just get steamier as the unfulfilled desire rage in this hot and hilarious romantic comedy. Based on Harmon and Greenspan's original play, Real Girls, in turn based on their own true story, also starring Dom DeLuise and Ming Stahl. Robin Greenspan and Lacey Harmon shared the Best Actress Award at the 2004 edition of Outfest. The film also won the festival's Outstanding Lesbian Narrative Feature Award. Girl Play was hailed by The Hollywood Reporter, which said, Robin Greenspan and Lacey Harmon are exceedingly likable, smart, and funny performers. PlanetOut.com calls Girl Play one of the funniest and most poignant lesbian films to come along in years. So, thank you to Liliana for that one. All right, in the book review this week, I'm actually going to do it. And the book review I have for you is an online book review. It's something you can read over at the Athenaeum, and it's by Taz, T-A-S, and it's called The Return. I'll have a link on my show notes, of course, for all the things that I announce on the show. And it's an excellent, excellent read. When I picked this story to read it by some of the reviews, I was just, okay, let's try and see what it says. And I actually thoroughly enjoyed it, and I do recommend this. Now, it's a very long story. It's not something that you want to sit back. It's 306 pages long, which almost made me feel like it's as long as my story. But this is what the teaser says. It's a sci-fi fantasy tale where the lives of two people entwine to continue a dynasty based on love and honor. I don't do angst. There is none, and I'm the mushball at heart, so read at your own risk. And like I said, it's a futuristic alternative romance novel, and it is excellent. So once again, that's called The Return, and it's over at the Athenaeum.
Initializing process. Oh, crap.
All right. Over at the Creations website, hosted by Sharon, which is creationentertainment.com/Xena, they're offering a special. If you buy both calendars together, you'll get a free autographed photo included, and it could be anyone from Lucy Lawless, Renee O'Connor, to any of the other people that were on the cast of Xena. So the special offer ends on October 15th. And it's definitely worth a look at. The calendars are really, really nice. I am definitely going to be ordering probably both of them, and I might just use one of them as a present for or gift or prize for the show. But check it over, and I'll have a link on my show notes for it.
Initializing process. Oh, crap.
All right. Also, make sure you have a look over at the new Lucy and Renee HQ site. They've redone it completely, and Emma has done a beautiful job. I'll have a link on my show notes for you as well, and also on my blog spot. She's got a new forum as well as pictures and stuff, so have a look at it and enjoy that.
Come and get
me. All right, over in Lucy and Renee news, and the Lucy Lawless Entertainment news. We don't really have any updates at the moment, but as always, check out her fan club and check out AUSXIP. And Mary D does a wonderful job keeping us updated with all the things going on in the Xenaverse. Over on Rock Fan Club, on the 3rd of October, Renee's posted the October newsletter update, and it says this month's features playing in the Rock member section will be Five Ways, a skit looking at the absurdity life and traffic tickets, talking with where and I interview Pina De Rosa and discuss her with her an experience of feeling compassion for another. Rockin' Recipes, giving you a healthy chicken marinade, and Rockin' Cellars, where I share a home video with you from my trip to Africa in 1996. So check those out and enjoy.
Come and get
some. Okay. A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good, Part 3. Part 2 of Part 3. The innkeeper's attitude was leagues different this morning, Gabriel noticed. She was greeted before she could even clear the hallway, and she returned the enthusiastic wave with one of her own.
Morning. Well, good morning to you, too, the woman smiled. Some night last had last night, eh?
Well, mine was great. Gabriel walked over and let her hand rest upon one of the wooden support poles.
It turned out to be a lot of fun. I'm glad everyone enjoyed it.
She replied courteously.
Well worth your discount, I think.
The woman laughed.
Too true, she admitted. You're well worth your reputation, you know.
Gabriel grinned. Thanks, I try to be. The outer door opened, and a tall, weather-beaten man entered, his grizzled gray hair and a close-trimmed beard. He approached him and appraised Gabriel with a pair of pale gray eyes.
You'd be the great bard, then.
Well, Gabrielle gave a tiny self-deprecating shrug. I'm Gabrielle. She held out a hand to him.
Hector.
He took her arm and clasped it.
I'm the village reeve.
His eyes flicked around the room.
May I have a word with you?
Sure. Gabrielle followed him into the inn, almost completely empty at this hour, and settled down at the first table while he sat across from her. What can I do for you? He seemed a little uncomfortable and laced his hands together on the table, twisting his fingers.
It's like this. That pair of folks you came in yesterday, they aren't happy.
Gabrielle folded her own hands on the table, very deliberately, and called a part of her that was the chief arbiter of Amphipolis.
What seems to be their problem?
She had, of course, a very good idea already, but was always best to let the other person lay their case out, how they saw it first.
Seems like the elder gentleman.
Hector paused slightly.
Been wanting to lodge a complaint against your friend.
Xena,
Gabrielle nodded,
for hitting him.
It's true, then?
Absolutely,
the bard stated.
He started beating on his daughter after we saved both of them from a runaway wagon, and Xena took exception to that,
she said.
I did too, but she was closer, and she's much better at that sort of thing than I am, so she stopped him.
A pause.
Forcefully.
The reeve sat back, absorbing the news.
Well then.
He snorted a little.
He didn't bother to be telling me that part of it. Not that I was giving him a sympathetic ear to start with. Mind, the man's a pig, and thinks because he's got the dinars he can trample folks down like chaff, but...
Well, no.
Gabriel's lips tensed into a smile.
People usually don't tell you things against their own best interests.
She considered a moment.
You weren't really going to arrest her, were you?
Shush!
Hector slapped the table.
Surely not.
Gabriel exhaled.
Good, because we've really got to get to Athens.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Hector leaned closer.
That bugger's from there, and for what he tells, throws some weight. He can't do Jack Robin out here, in this territory, to the likes of her. But there, have a care, Gabrielle. He's a snake, and don't I know it.
Good point.
I know.
The bard nodded grimly.
But we have to go, and I hope by the time we get there, he'll just have gotten over it. Xena didn't hurt him that badly.
No, his pride more like it,
the reeve commented cannily. Gabriel smiled at him in agreement.
Thanks for the warning.
His weathered face creased into a smile.
Least I can do. You've brightened us all up with your storytelling last night. Folks will be talking about that all season.
He paused, and then won a little bit more soberly.
And I had a lot of good friends who died from Andreas Lunacy. In fact, you won't remember me, but I used to know your folks way back when, in Bodidea.
The bard's green eyes grew quiet and thoughtful, remembering her hometown's destruction.
Ah.
His look was compassionate.
You were just a little tyke back then. I lost touch after I moved out here, but I was sorry to hear what happened. Sorry about your pa.
Gabrielle nodded slowly.
Me too.
Pity he wasn't here to see you last night. Would have been proud, I do think.
Hector said.
Apple of his eye, you were.
Gabrielle smiled through the ache in her chest. Back then, that might have even been true, at least for a little while.
She still didn't really know how to reconcile her feelings about her father, the conflicting emotions of love and hate, never really allowing her to put to rest the painful memories of her father's abuse. They rebuilt the village earlier this year.
She changed the subject quietly.
We heard that. Good to know.
Hector replied.
Lot of things going good this year, thanks to Xena. Don't think folks don't know it.
The bard smiled more easily, glad to switch focus to her soulmate.
I know. We'll be careful. And thanks again for the warning.
She glanced over her shoulder.
I've got to go grab some breakfast, so we can get on the road. Be well, Hector.
He reached over and touched a hand.
And you, Gabrielle.
Gabrielle got up and headed back towards where she'd left the innkeeper, rounding the corner of the entrance and nearly plowing right into Xena, who was headed in the opposite direction.
Whoa!
She put a hand out and grabbed the warrior's arm, steadying herself as she jerked to a halt.
Sorry, I was about to grab some... Xena?
You okay? Xena asked, glancing around as though expecting bandits to jump out of the walls.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Gabrielle ran her fingers through her hair. I'm just getting some information on our friends. That's all. We ready to go? Let me grab some bread or something.
Minutes later, they were outside, where Aeolus and Argo were already packed up and waiting. Gabrielle toyed with the idea of asking her partner to start off on foot, then dismissed it for later, and hauled herself up on Aeolus' saddle, settling her boots firmly in the stirrups, and arranging herself comfortably. She'd gotten used to riding in the past year, having developed a fondness for the sometimes saucy Aeolus, and she'd even gone out with Xena on arranging patrols around the boundaries of Amphipolis.
Come on, boy. Let's get going.
She guided the animal after Argo, as they started off down the road, quickly catching up so that she and Xena were side by side. She wasn't the rider Xena was, of course. Gabrielle glanced at her soulmate, who was as relaxed in the saddle as if she was sitting in the rocking chair on their porch. The sun was already beating down on them, though, and she watched the warrior tug the leather clip from her pouch and put her hair back, getting it off her neck.
"The reeve was telling me about a leaky," Gabrielle commented,
drawing the slight breeze against her bare skin. She didn't wear her Amazon-style garb much at home anymore, and she'd forgotten how comfortable it could really be, especially in weather like this.
"He thinks he might be trouble for us when we get to Athens."
Xena gazed thoughtfully out between Argo's ears.
"Could be,"
she agreed.
"I'm not going to worry about it, though."
She studied the ground ahead of them.
"Let's cut across country. Want to bypass the road and take a shortcut."
"A shortcut?"
Gabrielle had to smile.
"Sweetheart, do you remember what happened the last time you tried a shortcut?"
"It wasn't that bad."
Xena urged Argo off the road and down a small slope, towards a stretch of sun-bleached fields.
"We made it, didn't we?"
"Xena, we almost drowned in that swamp."
The warrior arched an eyebrow at her.
"There aren't any swamps around here, so relax."
"You'll find something."
"Gabrielle."
The long bleached grass closed behind them as they left the road and town behind and disappeared into the wilderness. A week later, they sat on a ridge overlooking a forested plain, where a white ribbon of road once again intersected their path.
"See?"
Xena said smugly.
"Told you it was a shortcut."
Gabrielle had one leg hooked up over her saddle horn and was resting her chin on her fist.
"How short?"
she inquired.
2-3 days,
the warrior said.
"Long enough to get a head start on anyone else going the same way."
She pointed.
"We'll follow the river down to Athens. Be easier from now on."
"Great."
Gabrielle straightened and put her boot back in her stirrup. It had been a tough week, as they traveled through trackless wilderness, only Xena's innate skill at navigation keeping them on a right path. It had been hot and dry, and they hadn't seen anyone other than themselves the entire time. Food had been whatever Xena could scrounge from the scrub and the trail rations they carried with them. But it hadn't been all that bad, the bard reasoned. Aside from the annoyance of sunburn, her body had adjusted to traveling again, raising her energy level as she became reaccustomed to being on the move all day and having to build a campsite at night. She was tired of the heat, though, and the sand they'd been traveling through and the thorny brush Xena's short cut had led them into. Traveling by the river under the trees sounded absolutely great.
"Oh, does this mean we get something other than berries and roasted grubs for dinner?"
Xena spared her wryly affectionate look.
"I'm about ready for something else myself," she admitted.
"I forgot how much I hate the taste of grubs."
Her hand shifted on the reins, and a light press of her calf started Argo down the slope.
"Well, we survived,"
Gabrielle told her diplomatically.
"It could have been worse. Remember when we had to eat that snake?"
She wrinkled her nose.
"Ugh."
"Yeah," Xena agreed. "Though, I don't know. I think the beetles..."
"Xena,"
Gabrielle interrupted.
"We agreed never to discuss the beetles. Remember?"
The warrior guided Argo around a dip in the ground and settled back in her saddle as she reviewed the path ahead of them. The sun was already angling towards the horizon as they gained the road, and she figured they had about another hour or so of good traveling light before darkness covered them. There were several towns along the road, she knew, and they'd be running into more of them as they came closer to Athens. This might be their last night out on the rough, in fact. Xena half smiled to herself as she acknowledged her mixed feelings about that. Though the past week had been tough, it also held its share of sweet moments. The forest slowly grew up around them, and Xena took a deep breath of the pine-scented air, detecting the sharp smell of water and wildlife around them. With the sun heading towards the west, a breeze was rising, and it blew across the skin, bringing delicious scents of relief.
"Feel that?"
Mm.
Gabrielle had her eyes blissfully closed.
Do I ever?
Zena glanced at her, noting that the painful sunburn had faded into a burnished gold on the bronze explored skin. You up for some sparring tonight? Gabrielle opened her eyes and blinked in mild surprise.
Yeah.
She agreed with a look of pleasure on her face.
I am. I was thinking about that last night, but after those thorn hedges...
Zena winced in reflex, remembering the long period of having the thorns removed from her leg long after Argo had stumbled into a crab hole and almost fallen.
All right.
She stopped, hearing something coming behind him. With a frown, she turned.
Aw, Hades. Not again.
Gabrielle turned also, a cloud of dust advancing on them.
Sheesh. Got any more shortcuts we can try?
She sighed and moved the Aeolus over the road.
At least this time they're going in straight line, on a straight road.
Zena stood a little in her stirrups and shaded her eyes.
Wait a minute. It's not them.
She took in the unfamiliar outline.
Different kind of wagon.
They stood by and waited, as a handsome team of four matched bay horses cantered proudly towards them, pulling a freshly painted wagon of a much higher quality than Leakey's. The driver was a man in fine white robes, with gold trim that shone in the sunlight, and as he drew closer, he slowed the horses down to a walk, and then a halt as he drew even with the two of them.
You there!
He addressed him shortly. Zena and Gabrielle exchanged glasses.
Hi,
the bard replied politely.
Have you seen another traveler on the road today?
The man asked.
With horses like these?
No,
Gabrielle shook her head.
We just hit this road, and you're the first person we've seen in days.
Very well.
The man turned as the door into the wagon opened.
All is well, Dimitri.
A tall, very muscular, extremely good-looking, bare-chested man eased partway out and observed them.
What are you doing talking to these peasants? Get moving. I must have time to prepare before the games.
He turned and slammed the hatch behind him. The driver spared them another glance, then lifted the reins and slapped the horses back smartly, making them snort as they jerked into motion and the wagon moved past, leaving them in a cloud of choking dust.
Well,
Gabrielle wiped the grime off her face and grimaced.
It's so nice to get back to civilization, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Zena snarled softly.
If that's what we've got to look forward to, it's gonna be a long trip.
The bard frowned, then turned and studied her partner. The warrior was covered in trail dust, sure, but...
Zena, what the heck was he talking about anyway? You don't look like a peasant.
Thanks.
Warrior glanced down at herself.
I didn't think so. Unless peasants in this part of the world are a lot more aggressive than they are in ours.
She shrugged.
No sense in worrying about it. Come on, let's get moving.
They started back down the road, trailing the steadily outpacing wagon that faded off into the distance.
How obnoxious,
Gabrielle said suddenly.
I bet he thinks he's God's gift to everyone, huh?
Certainly seemed to,
Zena remarked. They paced on a few more moments in silence.
You think he was cute?
The bard asked.
Who?
Zena gave her a look.
Him?
Yeah.
Nah.
Oh, come on, Zena.
He was all right. He reminded me of Hercules. A little.
The warrior conceded.
Hmm.
Gabrielle fell silent. Zena let the silence linger for a while. Then she turned her head.
Why?
Why what?
Why did you ask me that?
The warrior said, already suspecting the answer. Gabrielle dipped one shoulder in an offhand shrug.
Oh, you know. He seemed like your type.
An eyebrow lifted over one slightly wide blue eye.
My type?
Gabrielle, get out of here. He was not. One hand lifted and ticked off fingers.
Hercules, Ulysses, Rafe, Palamon.
Palamon?
Zena burst out laughing.
Give me a break!
Gabrielle just looked at her. The warrior sighed.
All right.
She gazed down and studied her hands a moment.
You want to see an image of what my type looks like?
Her voice went quiet and serious.
I can show you.
Gabrielle felt an uneasy tickle in her guts, having the distinct feeling she pushed the joke a little too far, this time. She hesitated.
Okay.
She watched Zena fish inside her saddlebag and tug out a small pouch, which she then handed over, not looking at the bard. A disquieting wave of insecurity almost swamped her.
I asked, didn't I?
She murmured as she curled the reins in one hand and opened the bag with the other. Feeling something slim and roughly square inside, for a moment, she paused, then resolutely drew the item out, turning it over and peering at it. Quite surprised to find herself peering back from a silver surface of a small hand mirror. A snort of guiltily relieved laughter escaped as she turned her head and peeked at her partner. Xena smirked at her.
You're such a fink!
The bar handed her the mirror back in its bag.
You would have thought I learned by now.
Xena snorted.
Besides, you're one to talk, she remarked. I can remember the days when I could tell in the first 5 seconds it was going to be another one of those,
oh, he's so cute,
scenes with you.
Gabriel struggled to maintain a dignified expression.
Hey, I was young.
A round blue eye rolled in her direction.
Hey, Granny, pass the water skin.
The bard stuck her tongue out, then unkept the water skin and squirted its contents in her partner's direction.
Anything you say, Tiger.
She had an impeccable aim, and was so close that there was no way for Xena to evade the stream unless she was willing to dive off Argo's back. It hit the warrior in the side of the head and drenched her until she whipped out a hand and snatched a bag from Gabriel's grasp.
Oh, I'll get you for that, bard.
Promises, promises.
Gabriel grinned, enjoying the banter.
Yeah, you just wait,
Xena threatened.
Tonight, when it's dark and you least express it.
In a flickering motion, she reached out across the space between them and tickled Gabrielle's ribs, despite the bard's attempt at evading her.
I'll get you.
Yeah?
The bard muffled a giggle. Xena nudged Argo closer and reached out again, but this time Gabrielle grabbed her hand and their fingers twined together. Xena pulled her closer and nibbled the back of the bard's hand.
Yeah.
Gabrielle could feel a curious energy building between them, familiar and yet... Her body tingled inside, and she found herself wanting the ride to be over, and it to be that dark night. She looked over at Xena and saw the warrior looking back at her, a faint smile pulling at her lips. Their eyes met, and she knew that Xena was feeling what she was feeling, and that tonight, yeah, it was going to be great. A hawk soared lazily over the edge of the water, its sharp eyes searching for telltale ripples that would expose dinner he could dive on and snatch. Usually, this close to twilight, he was alone, the smaller animals tucked into the burrows asleep, and the larger resting before a long night's hunting. This sunset, however, he had competition. Two odd, bipedal creatures far too large for him to either attack or scare off. Miffed, he soared on downriver to less cluttered waters.
Teach me.
Gabrielle was waist-deep in the current, her legs braced to keep her in place as she watched her partner fishing.
Come on, Xena. I really think I can learn it this time.
The warrior straightened, one hand clamped around a silvery, struggling form she'd just drawn from the river.
You do, huh?
She broke the fish's neck and threw it on shore, then held the hand out.
All right, come here.
It would not be the first time she tried teaching Gabrielle this particular skill. The bard was willing, but there was just some things...
Well.
Xena waited patiently. It never hurt to keep trying. Gabriel made a way out carefully onto the current and took the proffered grip, coming to stand right next to Xena as the last few rays of warm sun brushed over both of them.
It's beautiful here,
she remarked, glancing around. The river narrowed into swift-moving rapids, where they'd chosen to stop, and was surrounded by a thick growth of pine trees. The ground was covered with springing needles, and they rounded up a good pile of them and put their furs on top, clearing the earth for the fire already crackling nearby. It was quiet, and it smelled wonderful, and now there was going to be fish for dinner. Gabrielle exhaled a little as she pressed her cheek against Xena's damp shoulder. What more could you ask for, really?
Okay, so now what?
Okay.
Xena crouched. First, you get closer to the water. That should be easier for you than me.
Ha ha.
Gabrielle bent over and leaned her elbows on her thighs.
Okay.
All right, now listen.
Obediently, the bard carked ahead, waited for several long beats.
What am I listening for?
She whispered.
Just listen, Xena replied. You hear the crickets?
Yeah.
Forget about them, the warrior said. You hear the wind?
Yeah.
Forget about that, too. You hear the water?
Come on, Xena. How could you not hear the water? It's deafening.
All right. Just listen to the water. Concentrate on it. Zena instructed patiently. This was the part Gabrielle never got past, as the bard was unable to hold on tightly enough to what Zena was trying to show her. It was hard. Gabrielle could only hear formless roar, and her brows puckered as she focused on it. It was just noise she just wanted to say, but she knew if Zena had asked her to listen, there was a good reason behind it. And after all, she was the one who started this.
I hear waves.
Right. Zena slipped an arm around her back, the skin-on-skin touch warming and reassuring. They have a rhythm, don't they? Whoosh, roar, whoosh, roar.
No, what rhythm? Oh, wait.
Gabrielle drew in a bit.
Yeah, they do.
She lifted a hand off her knee and rocked it a little.
Back and forth, back and forth. Yeah.
The water's pattern infused her hearing, and now she discerned it. It seemed so obvious. Okay. The warrior agreed, pleasantly surprised. Now, focus down tighter and tighter, until all you can hear is the rhythm right here, right around you. Let the rest of it fade out. This was, she realized, further than Gabrielle had ever gotten in the lesson. Maybe it was just that they hadn't tried it in... God, Zena exhaled. Had it been that long? Concentrate. That was even harder, but now that she had an idea of what she was listening for, Gabrielle found she could, with a strong effort, do what Zena was asking her to do. She let the further away sounds drift off and concentrated on the ones very close to her. It was like vision, in a way. You could look up, look straight ahead, and not focus on anything. You could see a wide range, but nothing really made an impact. Then you could focus on something nearby, and if you did, everything around it would fuzz out a little and become unimportant. This was like that. Gabrielle nodded once or twice and stared at the water, hearing now trickles and small surges instead of the far-off roar.
Okay,
she murmured.
I hear just little stuff, like...
She squinted as though that would help.
Like pebbles moving around near our feet.
A grin. Very good, Zena praised her. Exactly. Now, she lowered her voice. You feel the water against your legs?
Sure.
It has a rhythm, too. Surge, whoosh, surge, whoosh.
Yes, it does.
The bard nodded solemnly.
I can feel it against my skin, like a pattern.
Gods, I can't believe it. Fish changed that, Zena whispered right into her ear. They blocked the current, and you can feel it. Then they move the pebbles and things with their fins, and you can hear it. Come on, sweetheart. Feel it. I know you can do it. Gabrielle went very, very still for a long moment, her face blank, her eyes flickering back and forth across the surface. She fought to train her senses to do something new and very alien to them. She felt the current against her, very regular. Then suddenly, the pressure lessened against her right knee, and her eyes widened as she heard a swift tinkle of rocks at the same time.
There's...
she hissed.
There's a fish there, near my leg, right?
So concentrated was she that she completely missed the look of jubilant prize Zena visited on her.
Yeah?
There sure is. She bit her lip as the bard's eyes narrowed in fierce focus. Gabrielle crouched lower, focusing on the feeling of the water against her skin. She felt a light brush, then the flow was blocked again, and before she could convince herself not to, she grabbed quickly at the spot, her fingers touching something smooth and hard, then clamping down with frantic strength. With a gasp, she jerked upright, bringing her arms out of the water and staring at them in total disbelief, barely hanging onto the large trout, struggling fiercely in her hands.
Oh, my God!
Her eyes widened incredulously.
Zena! Zena, look!
A soft chuckle. I see, Zena replied. Good job, Gabrielle.
I did it!
The bard turned and looked at her in total amazement.
Zena, I did it!
The warrior started laughing. Yeah, you sure did. Now let's get out of here before you lose your grip on him, okay? She caught Gabrielle around the waist and started leading her out of the water, while the bard maintained her death grip on the still struggling trout. Nice size, too. She complimented her partner. Gabrielle was still dumbfounded, trusting her partner to guide her out of the water while she stared at a catch.
Zena,
I caught a fish in my hands.
Zena kissed the back of her neck. Yes, you did, she said. And boy, am I ever proud of you for it.
The barge stopped walking and turned ahead, all the wonder of the moment still in her eyes. I can't believe I did this, she said. Do you know how long I've wanted to be able to do this, Zena? Ever since I saw you do it the very first time. I said, wow, that is so cool.
Zena just smiled at her. Tiny shake of Gabrielle's head.
But why now? I don't get it. We've tried this dozens of times.
The warrior lifted a hand and touched her cheek, cupping it gently. Maybe it was just time, she said. Maybe you're just ready now. Gabrielle inhaled, then exhaled, shaking head a little and smiling.
Maybe, she laughed. That was so cool. Thanks, Z.
It was pretty amazing for me, too, Zena admitted, inclining her head and kissing the bard's lip gently. You're the first person I've been able to teach that to, you know? Gabrielle blinked.
Really?
Zena slid a bare arm around her shoulders, and they continued walking towards the fire. She bent down and retrieved the other fish, then exhaled. Really? Not that... She shrugged a little. It wasn't something I tried to teach a lot, but the couple of times I did, it never worked out. Gabrielle gazed at the trout.
Until now,
she murmured, relieving the moment in her mind.
Wow.
A pause, then she turned her head.
You have to eat this one.
Zena chuckled.
I'm not kidding. I used to... God, this is so embarrassing. But I used to have daydreams about being able to just come up to you one day and hand you a fish for dinner, the bard told her. So this one's yours, okay?
Okay, Zena agreed. Tell you what, let me clean these and you dry off. Somewhat reluctantly, Gabrielle handed the fish over, then walked to her saddlebag and removed a piece of linen she quickly ran over her body. She threw a shift on, then grabbed her diary and sat down on a rock, removing a quill and a pot of ink, and flipping the bound volume open to a new page. Zena set the fish down on a flat rock, took a moment to dry her own body, and don a nightshirt, before she removed her knives from her kit and set to work. After a moment, she looked up to find Gabrielle looking back at her through the flames, with an indescribable expression on her face. What? Gabrielle's face relaxed into a dazzling smile.
Nothing.
She put her diary away and walked over, seating herself on a rock behind where the warrior was kneeling. As Zena started in again on the fish, she laid her hands on her back and began a light massage, feeling the strong muscles shift under her touch.
Know what I think I'll do?
What? Zena let her eyes close, her hands moving by rote as she submitted to her partner's knowing touch.
Wrap those suckers up and slow bake them.
Gabrielle worked her way up slowly Zena's spine, spreading her fingers out, and working out the tension she could feel under them.
I've got those spicy herbs you like.
Yeah? Zena finished her task, looked back over her shoulder as she put her tools away. Let them cook a while we spar? Gabrielle nodded, removing one hand from her rubbing to trace a gentle line across the warrior's cheekbone.
After that fish, I'm feeling pretty invincible. Maybe I'll luck out and beat you tonight.
Zena's eyebrow lifted in a devastating impact, making Gabrielle simply grin in response. The warrior turned and rose, dusting her hands off. Put them up while I get the staffs. That challenge I just can't pass up. She tweaked Gabrielle's nose before stepped past her, heading for their gear. Gabrielle chuckled to herself as she picked up the fish and carried them to the fire, then pulled her cooking kit over. She removed two pieces of tattered parchment she saved for just this purpose and laid the fish on top of it, then dusted them liberally with the herbs she knew her partner enjoyed. Satisfied, she then took a handful of wild grain and tucked it inside each fish before she folded them, closed, and wrapped them each in the parchment. Once that was done, she edged closer to the fire and carefully dug into the earth almost beneath it, putting the fish inside and covering it over. The heat would be, she judged, more than enough to cook the fish through and soak the grains with their juices, making a tasty dinner for the two of them after they finished their bout. Now, Gabrielle leaned back on her heels and looked around, spotting Zena nearby in a clear space, one of their staves in hand. The warrior was casually warming up her body, sliding the staff across her shoulders and twisting a long frame to loosen up her muscles. Put your dinars where your mouth is, bard, and go to it.
She got up and dusted her hands off against her thighs, walking over to where her own staff was lying on the grass and retrieving it. The wood felt warm and balanced in her grip as she, too, took the time to warm up, and she walked in a slow circle around her partner. They watched each other in comfortable silence, letting the setting sun paint lurid stripes across the ground and their bodies as they moved around each other. As if on a signal, they both stopped and came to a balanced stance facing each other. Gabrielle drew in a breath and released it, moving that part of her mind into a place it had to be for her to wield the weapon, especially against this particular opponent. Xena, of course, had no such need. She simply waited, watching, her hands lightly clasped around the staff, eyes flickering over the bard's body, in anticipation of her slightest move. Gabrielle waited a moment of her balance to settle, then she went into motion, closing with Xena in a blur of moving wood and quick footwork. The rattle of their staff's meeting sounded sharp and fierce, and the bard whirled and ducked on the end of Xena's weapon as she spun in opposite direction, catching Xena on the shoulder, but not before she felt a tap on the back of her leg. She didn't even pause, but went into another attack, using her speed and the short arc of her swing to keep Xena off balance, while she worked out how to get around the warrior's superior reflexes and greater strength. A year had made such a difference. Gabrielle knew that now she could claim without hubris her own mastery of the quarterstaff, and in fact, the Amazon dreadfully bowed to her and begged at regular intervals for her lessons. A year of intensive one-on-one bouts like this with Xena, who had honed Gabrielle's skills to a point where even the warrior had trouble winning against her. She was fast, and she was strong, and with Xena, she could pull out all the stops and go full out, her hands moving so fast they were a blur even to her own eyes. Fiercely, she concentrated on the rhythm she knew worked best for her, sharp motions that gave her the advantage, as Xena's counterstrikes opened up areas on her partner's long torso for her to attack that simply did not exist on Gabrielle's more compact frame. "Aha!" she chortled, digging in and throwing her weight abrupt in the other direction, almost, God, almost getting the damn staff out of Xena's hands. She took advantage of the warrior's swift recovery by slamming her staff against the back end of Xena's. Then, as Xena recoiled, she set herself and whipped around in a roundhouse kick, this time feeling very sweet success as she saw the warrior's staff go flying. Anyone else, they'd be toast. Gabrielle scrambled to follow up her advantage, but she was moments too late, as Xena simply uncoiled into a leap that regained the staff in midair, then tumbled into a flip in midair. The next moment, she was sliding back into defense, as Xena slapped her staff back in from midair, turning and twisting, and presenting an impossible target as the warrior landed and leapt again. And, God! Gabrielle dove on the attack, rolling and coming back up and managing not to trip on her staff as she brought it up around just in time to counter a series of cross-strokes that backed her up several paces before she could bear down and let the force roll off the top of the staff and regain her balance. She ducked under a stroke, then turned and whipped her staff upward, meeting Xena's downward strike as she fell to her knee and the warrior leaned over her. Wild, glinting blue eyes bored into her, and a mischievous grin appeared. Gabrielle felt the drill of the challenge hit her right in the gut, a fire that called up her competitive spirit, and sent a yell from her throat as she surged up off the ground and, incredibly, shoved Xena back just enough for her to escape under the warrior's right arm and spin, whirling a staff towards Xena's and loving the smack as their weapons met again and again and again, powerful strokes that sent shocks down her forearms and into her shoulders. Xena was stalking her now, her nostrils flared and sweat starting to rise on her skin. She countered a tricky double sweep and dodged to one side as the bard circled her again, trying to get behind her. They paced around each other like two jungle cats, Xena all smooth motion and power, Gabrielle all bounce and grunting effort. Staffs met again and again as they traded blows, and the bard threw in a combination Xena wasn't expecting, allowing her to get inside the warrior's guard. She took advantage of every moment, forcing the warrior back until she finally got a serious advantage, having Xena off balance and her staff out of position. It didn't happen often. She could count on the fingers of one hand how many times she'd gotten the better of her soulmate in the entire year they'd been home, and they sparred almost daily. But it was always sweet when she did, and Xena had finally thumped her out of the habit of refusing to take advantage of it when it did happen. So now she did. She stopped in mid-motion and reversed her swing and took the staff right out of Xena's hands, then spun around and sent the other end of her staff right at the warrior's head. only to have her motion arrested in mid-swing, stopping her as though the staff had impacted against a tree Zena was standing in front of. It threw her off balance, and she tried to stop her motion, twisting her body around painfully as her staff was ripped out of her hands and tossed in the opposite direction. Centaur farts. Gabrielle gathered herself and met the grappling hands she knew would come next, as her body collided with Zena's, and they struggled to get a hold of each other. Their feet entangled, and they tumbled to the ground, fighting for a decent grip. Here, Gabrielle knew she was at a disadvantage, because strong as she was no match for Zena, and she knew it. The only hope was to escape, and escape she did, wrenching loosely and rolling away in a ball, only to leap to her feet and whirl as Zena pounced. She dodged and spun, but Zena anticipated her every move, and before she could set herself, she was engulfed by long arms and was falling again, landing with a thump, with the Warrior firmly on top of her. Struggle? Gabrielle could feel the increased heart rate against her fingers, where her hands were pressed against Zena's chest, and felt her own heart pounding in her ears. She opened her eyes and found herself nose to nose with Zena's sweaty visage, and decided she had enough for one night. Instead of pushing her back, she took a handful of Zena's shirt and pulled her closer, lifting her head and brushing her lips against the ones so invitingly nearby. She felt Zena's breath, warm and sweet, trickle between hers, and the soft chuckle as the Warrior returned the kiss with a firmer pressure. When they broke off, she gazed up into Zena's face, drinking in the strong planes of loving eyes.
"Give up?"
she asked cheekily.
"Give up?"
Zena drawled softly, lowering her body to press lightly against the bars.
"Or?"
"Or I'll have to get rough with you,"
Gabrielle warned, then took a deep breath and heaved with all her strength, twisting her body and pushing it sideways, giving it everything she had as she had somehow managed to flip them both over, and she ended up sprawled on top of the Warrior.
"See?"
she gasped, quickly collecting herself and pinning Zena's shoulders down with the weight on both hands.
"You're mine tonight."
A tiny hint of a smirk tugged at Xena's lips, and Gabrielle could see the mind behind the baby blues sorting over her options and deciding whether or not to go along with the barge claim. And, of course, Gabrielle knew that it was the Warrior's choice, knew that even though she was perched here, ostensibly the victor of the little tussle, she won because the Warrior had allowed it. At one time, that knowledge would have burned in her guts, making her angry and frustrated. Now, she just accepted it for the truth and waited to see what Zena was going to do. The blue eyes softened.
"I'm yours,"
Zena agreed quietly.
"You won."
"Fair and square."
"Fraud."
Gabrielle leaned over and kissed her, enjoying the sensation of being controlled, nevertheless. She slipped the Warrior's shirt up and concentrated on the sensitive spots on her partner's body she knew as well as she did her own. It was a heady sensation, always, to feel Zena's breathing go ragged under her touch, and to hear the soft, almost sub-vocal sounds her attentions wrested from the Warrior's throat. She put her fishing lessons to good use and focused down, allowing the surrounding tall grass to fade out and the sounds of twilight to vanish. All she could see was the expanse of tanned skin. She allowed herself to feel, all the way down, the incredible depth of their love, pulling it up and centering her awareness on that as she touched and nibbled and teased a groan from her partner's guts. The intensity centered and built, and she let it spill out throughout the connection they had with each other, pouring out all the emotion and all the wonder she had in hers as Zena's hold on her tightened and she felt the Warrior tense, a rush of sensation coming back to her through their link in a dizzying flow as she let her knowledge of her partner's bodies loose. It was like riding down a waterfall, and as Gabrielle slid upward, their lips met again. She felt like she was going to explode. Then Zena's touch claimed her, almost making her pass out as a wave of intensity surprised her in its suddenness. Then she was collapsing against Zena's chest, shaking a little as the Warrior wrapped arms and legs around her as they lay still in the sweet river grass, letting their tingling bodies relax and their hearts slow down.
"Whoa!"
Gabrielle blinked.
"Mmm,"
Zena grunted.
"Damn, I'm gonna have to let you in more often."
The bard chuckled weakly.
"Think?"
She felt a rumble as Zena laughed with her, and they both sighed deeply at the same time.
"See?"
"Mmm."
Zena's hands were now rubbing Gabrielle's skin gently.
"Thanks,"
the bard hugged her.
You made it a darn near perfect day.
To be continued.
Okay, that concludes the 80th episode of XNU and part 3 of A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. I hope everyone's enjoying the show so far and going through with the new storyline. As always, if you have any story suggestions for future reference, please send me a link or an email with the name, title of the story, author's email if you can get it for me so that I can contact them and request permission for it. If you have any song suggestions that you'd like to hear, song snippets on the show, send me a link either from YouTube or the name of the song so I can get it. If you have any announcements or dedications or even just a shout out, send me an email. My email is xena.uber@gmail.com. So until the next episode, everyone, take care, enjoy life and love. Bye-bye.
Sometimes.